Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Touchline Podcast. This is episode 22. We don't have anyone on the roster with the number 22 right now, so it's just episode 22.
I'm Rich.
And I'm
Benji Lopez.
He had it last year.
Oh. It's the Benji Lopez episode. I think he's playing for the Arizona team. He was. Like the USL team down there in Arizona.
Arizona United.
Yeah. Did they dissolve?
Are
they still in? No, the Monarchs just played them, right?
Yeah. Yeah. They're only like 15 months old or something crazy like that.
Because it seems like they kind of dissolve and then get remade and then...
Yeah, but Benji's not there anymore.
He's not?
I don't know where Benji is. If Benji's listening to this, he needs to come talk to us.
What does his Wikipedia page say?
Nothing.
It says he plays for Real Salt Lake.
Yeah, but I don't think he does.
No, he does not.
Wikipedia lied to us again.
Come on, Wikipedia. Update your pages. All right, anyway, like I said, I'm Rich. We got Brett here. Join us for Touchline Podcast. What else can I repeat myself over? You've joined us to talk a little bit. We took a sabbatical, I guess you could say. We didn't record a podcast for a couple of weeks. We had a lot of stuff to talk about.
We got a red card, man.
We were feeling left out. So we both decided to give ourselves red cards. We had to take some time off. Either that or maybe I got the red card and you got an injury.
I was playing center back.
Did your visa not get approved?
No, I was playing center back.
Oh, you're playing center back. That means you're out for a couple months.
Mm-hmm.
So we got to go all the way back to the Open Cup game against Sounders 2. And we'll talk about them, talk about Sporting KC, talk about New York Red Bulls, Columbus Crew that just happened this past weekend. Then we'll preview tomorrow's game, which maybe in the past when you listen to this against the Timbers, you got to get on Alan to get this posted before then.
Oh, it will be.
Get it up there. And then this weekend we're playing Orlando City. The Orlando City Mouseketeers, I think is their name.
Yes, yes. The wannabe Lions.
Oh, Lions, dang it. Wannabe Lions, yeah. They're not like the Donald Ducks or something.
They should be.
The Disneylandians. Disney Worldians? I don't know. So let's get started and kind of rehash. Let's do Open Cup first. How about let's do it that way? We'll talk S2 and we can talk about Portland while we're on that subject.
Mm-hmm.
We played Sounders 2, which is Sounders development team, like our Real Monarchs. That was a couple weeks ago now. And oddly enough, we conceded first, right before halftime. We were very uninterested in playing soccer in the first half.
You know, the crazy thing is I was sitting in for Jeff Cassar's post-game interview, and he admitted right before he turned and looked at his assistant coach and was like, we're going to give up a goal here. Like, he could just tell it was going to happen.
Yeah, he's like this runner that's going to run by – Ole Miss, I'm going to be surprised if he, realizes notices that's happening. And sure enough,
got burned.
Yep. So it really seemed like even though we had a lot of kind of the reserves in there playing and that you would think they would be motivated to take advantage of it, it didn't seem like there was a lot of motivation to attack or like they – It felt like a little bit they thought it would be easy and they would just score whenever and there wasn't any urgency.
Yeah.
That was the impression I got. You were sitting up in the media booth for that game, right?
Yep.
So I don't know what impression you got from up there, but from my vantage point, that was the impression I got, that they were just out there for a stroll. They were going to kick the ball around and eventually they would score and win and go home.
Yeah, they kind of – that first half, you kind of figured they were a little – lackadaisical, and then after that at halftime somebody said something because that team came out.
I even think it took a little bit I mean, they came out better in the second half, but I thought the real change came when Hobby came on.
Mm-hmm.
He came in pretty soon into the second half, but you know, as soon as Hobby came on, you could tell somebody on RSL's side that wanted to score and wanted to push and wanted to attack, and you know, he kind of dragged everybody with him.
Yeah, it's kind of like when Hobby came on, it felt like the team finally realized they were down a goal and they kind of got punched in the mouth and it was time to actually, you know, step up and do something.
Yeah, and you could tell for sure once Hobby came on, you know, just the passes he was making and the space he was creating and the overall play just elevated so much, which is kind of sad that we couldn't get that same play. I think Gil was playing kind of that role before Hobby came on.
Yeah.
And, I mean, you kind of notice that this weekend, too. Gil isn't as assertive and doesn't grab the game by the, what should I say, scruff of the neck. Is that the family-friendly way to say that?
He doesn't take over the game.
No, he doesn't demand the ball. He doesn't. When he does get the ball, most of the time he plays kind of the safe passes as if he was more Beckerman type, right? Mm-hmm. He doesn't get the ball and drive it at people to, you know, create scoring up. Not always. I mean, he does sometimes, but
yeah,
more often than not, he tries to lay off passes sideways or whatever. And so that's kind of frustrating to me.
Mm-hmm.
Regardless, you know, we ended up getting that crazy indirect kick.
Have you ever seen that before?
I have not one on the 6-yard box. I've seen indirect kicks because of that, but not one that close, I don't think.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen them where they've lined up on the goal line, like they did in this case.
Yeah.
And it's just crazy. So I'm not sure. I bet you that most people in the stadium had no idea what that rule, like what an indirect kick is, or, you know, what the deal was with that. I was trying to explain it to my brother-in-law who was with me that, you know, you can't just kick it in the goal.
Yeah. Yeah, you can't kick it back to your goalie and he can pick it up.
Yeah, but I mean, on the free kick, it has to hit somebody before it goes in to score.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can't just take the free kick and curl it in like Hobby would normally. So that's why it was good. You know, Plata rolled it to Hobby, so then, you know, you could just kick it in.
Yeah. Differences between a direct kick and an indirect kick.
Yep. Kind of like you can't score a goal off a throw-in.
Yep.
It's got to hit somebody.
Exactly.
So.
This crazy rules we have.
Kind of wacky rules. I think as the game went on, and we inserted some of our kind of first teamers, you could definitely start to see the talent gap widen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Sounders 2 coach was fuming after the game. Did you watch him?
Yeah, I sat there and watched the entire game, and I watched him get his red card.
That was pretty comical. He's, you know, throwing his scarf down. It was totally like a baseball manager fight.
Yeah.
You know, stomping the ground, kicking the dust. I was waiting for him to pick up a base and throw it.
And all the refs just stood there and stared him down.
Mm-hmm.
It was beautiful.
And what was even more epic was that coincided this very same night with the Sounders' first team totally having a meltdown in their game.
And getting red cards.
Yeah. And, you know, people getting sent off and, oh, man, Dempsey tearing up the referee's book. I was pretty irritated that he only got 3 games for that. But
just 3 games from the MLS. I mean, the United States soccer can actually bring more, but it won't happen.
I mean, he got suspended from the Open Cup for 2 years or 6 games, whichever's greater.
Yeah.
Which is something I just thought, you know, they needed to use that as an example, kind of make him an example of you can't do that to a referee, no matter how bad they are, no matter if their name is Ted Uncle or, I don't know. Mm-hmm. Whoever else do we think is crappy?
And we can go on and on.
Kevin Stott, I don't know. Petrescu. Anyway, it doesn't matter, you know, how bad the ref is doing. You can't intimidate the ref.
Yeah, you gotta be best friends.
So we got out of there with the win, so that set us up with playing Portland. We won the draw to host that game, and we'll host the next game too if we win, which would be against either the Earthquakes or the Galaxy.
Maybe.
What do you mean maybe?
Maybe. Maybe. Well, I don't know if you saw it, but there's like a report out that they're trying to get their Open Cup game moved because I guess one day San Jose has to play an Open Cup and the next day they got to turn around and play like Manchester United or something like that.
Yeah.
And they feel that they need more time.
Yeah, I think it was Steve Goff, I think, wrote that story about both them. So the Earthquakes, Galaxy, and Red Bulls all play friendlies that fixture date.
Yeah, and it's kind of on those clubs because the U.S. Open Cup schedule is released before the teams are even drawn or anything like that. So these the schedules are known, but yeah, they fail to acknowledge it pretty much.
I think they should forfeit myself, but forfeit one of the matches. You know, it was interesting listening to On Frame that they did on Monday. Trey talking about it, and I mean he was pretty fuming, but just talking about the other possible dates, and there's really no good choices for us because, you know, then we start getting into CONCACAF Champions League, and so it's not like you'd be like, we'll just move it a week. Well, we can't. Or if we do it, I think it would have made it so we would have to play that game, then that would have been the same week as we'd go to DC, to Guatemala, to Vancouver.
Yeah.
Which is ridiculous scenario if we have to do that.
Yeah.
Hopefully we can get that schedule changed and play Guatemala here or something.
It also kind of makes you appreciate the fact that Real Salt Lake kind of avoids scheduling friendlies like that.
Yeah.
I mean, it kind of shows that their priority is Open Cup and CONCACAF and stuff like that.
I mean, if we didn't have all this fixture congestion and we had spare time, you know, we weren't in Champions League, whatever, there was this free weekend. I'm fine if they want to schedule a friendly, but all these games, like, you know, a couple of years ago when we had to play Vancouver and they were playing Man City on Monday, and they had to put grass down, and it made up so we couldn't play them, and we had to reschedule because the field wasn't playable. That's bullcrap, and that's not cool.
Yeah, I think, I mean, if you force them both to forfeit, that throws us in the semis. I'm cool with that. But
yeah.
I don't know if this kind of shows maybe some of these teams don't take the U.S. Open Cup serious.
Well, I'm sure they don't.
I mean, obviously, Real Salt Lake does.
I mean, the amount of money they're going to get from playing, you know, Man United, I mean, that's going to be some major coin. That'll help pay for some of their DPs where, you know, playing in the Open Cup, you don't get anything.
Yeah.
So, no, I mean, I hope U.S. Soccer doesn't force Real Salt Lake to do some crazy scheduling to make this friendly thing work because that'll be a bunch of baloney. I'm sure they will because it's Galaxy and the Red Bulls, but I don't know. It's too bad. So they've already played some games tonight. The Union beat DC United, Chicago Fire beat the USL side, Charlotte Independence, and then Orlando City beat Columbus Crew. So they're all through to the next round. And then tomorrow, Real Salt Lake plays Timbers, Galaxy Earthquakes, Dynamo Rapids, KC Dallas, and Red Bulls Cosmos.
Yep, and then the winner, if we win, we'll be playing again end of July.
Yep. So Portland, they've been playing really well. I think they've won 5 of 6. The only hiccup was they played down in LA and got curb stomped. I think it was 5-0.
Mm-hmm.
They played Seattle over the weekend on Sunday for rivalry week and won that game 4-1. They played really well. It was pretty impressive. They definitely bossed that game. Seattle was missing a lot of players, but Nagby and Fernando Audi, they were both on their game. Audi, man, he is a beast when he puts all of his talents together, because he's so big, you know, posting up center backs and stuff, and then he's pretty agile, so turning and shooting, and he's kind of a handful when he figures out that he's actually talented. So
yeah,
hopefully he'll forget again for Wednesday.
Well, it's a team we've already met once before earlier this year, and we tied them. But at that time, they also didn't have Will Johnson, Valeri, guys like that.
Yeah, we'll have to see who they start. I mean, with RSL, you pretty much have to play your first team because we don't have anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
So RSL is probably going to play pretty close to their strongest lineup, I would guess.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, you're not going to have Beckerman and Raimondo.
Beckerman's gone. Romano's gone. Sabo's gone. Phillips will be gone. They said
Vasquez might be gone too.
No, they said Vasquez got his visa and he was flying in today, and he'll be available for the game tomorrow. And then he was going to leave after the game, but they didn't know if he'd be available or not because, you know, he's traveling today.
Mm-hmm.
So he'll probably, I would guess he'd be on the bench is my guess.
Yeah.
Since we don't have any spare center backs. I bet they worked out a deal with Guatemala to say, can you just come sit on the bench just in case for a game, and then he'll join you guys.
Yeah.
So I think you'll see RSL put out pretty close to a full team. We'll see what Portland does. I mean, if they play their full strength team, I guess even if they don't, you know, when we played them at the beginning of the season, we put a pretty strong team together, and they had tons of their quote unquote backups and people playing out of position, and we couldn't do anything with it. So,
yeah. I mean, even Jeff's come out and said that he's going to put in his best 11.
Yeah.
So I think you're going to see pretty much a first team minus our international guys.
This will be the first time that Borchers has come back since he left us. So we'll get to cheer his awesome beard during the intros and then boo him for 90 minutes after.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Yeah, so hopefully we can continue the way we've been playing the last, I don't know, couple games.
The last couple Open Cup games.
Yeah, I even think the last few regular season games we've been playing pretty well, even if the results haven't necessarily been the best.
Yeah, the points aren't there, but the talent and the goal scoring is there finally.
The effort, and I mean, we're making chances and doing things that we weren't doing earlier in the year, getting similar point results, but aesthetically it was a lot different.
I mean, our big hiccup in the last four games has been that New York game, but even then, the red cards both were negotiable to even be red cards. And even down to nine men, I kind of, from what I saw, it kind of looked like RSL was the better team than New York.
You know what blew me away was, New York, they played not well against us, even though, you know, mm-hmm. we only had nine guys. But then I watched a lot of their rivalry game against NYCFC. And, I think they won 3-1, but I mean, they played really well and offensively, you know, put some things together. And it's just funny how, you know, in between, you know, different games, teams can look totally different, but against us, they did not look good. And I thought we worked really, really hard only with nine to keep it at 1-0. I mean, there's no reason for the guys to care if we would have got blown out because we were already down, right?
Yeah.
That was a total pride check game of, you know, we're down one, maybe we can nick a goal, but we're not going to let you score.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, they could have mailed it in easily.
Yeah. So, I mean, let's just kind of hurry and throw these last three games together. Is there anybody in your mind that stood out?
I mean, I think obviously Javi has been playing awesome when he's been available. He missed the Columbus game, but, you know, and then got a red card in the New York game, but he has a huge impact on the game when he's in. I've been liking Jaime more and more. He got his goal finally and then got another one against Columbus. And I thought he played really well in the center, filling in for Sabo and Sandoval. So I think he's kind of coming more into his own, getting some confidence there. And then I've also been impressed with the center backs that have stepped in.
Yeah.
You know, Kavita's done a great job, I thought.
Justin Glad's looked good too.
Yeah, he got hurt though, so. You know, yeah. Kavita, there's obviously been some miscommunications a few times or plays they could have handled better.
Mm-hmm.
Or plays that could have turned out a lot worse for us, but for being, you know, like they said, our fourth choice and our sixth choice center back, and Mond and Kavita probably never playing together ever before.
Yeah,
I thought they've been doing great.
Yeah, I think the one guy that's really stood out to me was Jaime. I mean, after you could kind of tell after that first goal, he kind of had that weight lifted off his shoulders, and ever since then, he's looking like a lot more dangerous. It's really fun to watch him play.
Yeah. And, you know, he's still coming back from, you know, when he got hurt. And I think there is still some fitness to be had, but his work rate is kind of like Sandoval where, you know, they'll just keep running and running and running, which is great. And, you know, people bag on Sabo for not running and I don't have a problem with it. I mean, he is very judicious in his energy usage.
He's a finisher.
Yeah. But, you know, you watch Messi play, for example. I think Messi's similar to Sabo in the way he chooses to use his energy.
Yeah.
You see Messi walking a lot. And, you know, maybe not getting back on side as quickly as you would want and stuff. But that doesn't mean that he's not the best player in the world. And I'm not saying Sabo is equivalent to Messi on a skill level, but just every player is a little different. Sandoval and Jaime both have that engine. You know, like when you're playing FIFA, you get those players that have the engine trait.
Mm-hmm.
That's them.
You hold the turbo button, and at the end of the game, they still only half.
Yep. Run all game with them, and then, you know, you never have to sell them out.
Yeah.
I'll ask you this question first is, who have you been disappointed with?
Over the past few games, I hate to say it, but Beltran. It seems like all of the attacks, teams are like focusing in on Tony's side of the field and trying to come down and be the team on that side of the field. So I'd probably have to go with Tony.
I mean, I think Tony, yeah. So my pick would have been the other fullback position is Phillips and Mansally.
Yeah.
I think the pair of them have both had bright moments in games, but still get out of position like so much.
It's like that saying in football, if you have two quarterbacks, you don't really have one. It's the same thing there because neither one of them can actually get going with the flow of the game. I mean, first team staying the same except for their position, really, and they don't have that energy in linking up with those guys that are starting.
I think even more than that, though, is just their personality is to attack, and that causes them to not be in good defensive position a lot. And so when we turn the ball over or something happens, the defensive shape is all jacked up. And so people start having to cover for that space. And yeah. I'm not saying they're the only ones. I mean, the goals against Columbus, our defensive shape was not, is like a wet noodle kind of, just it wasn't really a shape. And, you know, I think the second one, you know, I think it was Beltran that was trying to cover that run. I mean, he did an okay job. It was just really, I mean, it was a good ball, and they scored it. But I don't know. So a lot of times you just look and you see Manteller Phillips like in the center of the field, or, you know, just totally not in the right spot. And there was a lot, especially in the Columbus game, they just kept finding space behind them over and over and over.
Yeah.
So I don't know what to do about that, because we, I mean, we're going to, that's kind of who we're stuck with, unless Glad gets healthy and can play out there. Or maybe they'll put Allen out there. I don't know.
Yeah.
Not this game, because he has a red card, but.
You know what? That's actually something I was thinking about. Jordan. Okay, so I've always been looking at Luis Gil. It's kind of the heir apparent to Javier.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe I'm wrong. What if Jordan Allen's that guy, because he can step in and play really any position, and he's very creative when he is playing. Do you think maybe Allen's the new heir apparent?
I don't know. I'm starting to think less and less that Gil is going to be that guy.
Mm-hmm.
Allen does. He seems like he can be a playmaker, but he definitely seems like more of a wide player to me. And yeah. I guess that doesn't mean you can't be the Javi type. I mean, Zusi, for example, he plays a winger position, and he's their playmaker.
Mm-hmm.
And you find a lot more and more those playmaking types, you get moved over to the side to avoid the defensive midfielders that are lying in wait for them.
Yeah.
I mean, Javi does that on his own a lot, as drifts out wide. Same with Saucedo. I'd like to see him play some more. I don't know if he could be, you know, kind of in the center there, or if he's more of a winger type. That's where they've been playing him.
Mm-hmm.
He's more of a winger. You know, I guess we won't know, because Jordan Allen can play pretty much any position. We won't know until we try it.
Yeah. No, what I was thinking is, we've seen Allen play everywhere, and he's like good at every position. If we was to like set him down and be like, okay, you got Javi's job as soon as Javi's done, and we're just going to play you midfield in there. And if he was to focus all his energy that he does everywhere else learning how to play that game, I just wondered how he could have been.
I smell what you're stepping in there.
Yeah, it's awesome.
I'm downwind. I gotcha.
I don't know. Just he's done a few things in the last few games that I've seen him play in that made me go, I wonder if he could play that Javi role.
Because
Javi's not getting any younger.
No, certainly not, but he seems to be getting better every year, so I don't know. It's weird.
Transfer windows in 1 week. If you can go out, not a player, a position that you go out and fix, what are you going for? Do we go get more center backs?
I think it's got to be somewhere on the defensive line. I know getting fullbacks isn't sexy, but I mean, I wouldn't be opposed to that. You know, we definitely, I guess, depending on how everybody heals up, if Schuler's healthy again, maybe that kind of lessens the center back burden.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, that's a position you could probably look at. I feel like we're pretty good everywhere else, as long as, you know, the whole health thing, right?
Yeah.
I mean, we have a good starting crew of midfielders and forwards, plus people that you could slot in and still not feel too bad about.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, if they went out and got, you know, some big upgrade.
Yeah.
Had Ronaldo come in or something, I mean, that's different, but.
Yeah.
I don't know. What do you think? What would you do?
I'd probably go defensive, even though I'd kind of also want the team to go out and find a playmaking midfielder also. I think when you notice that Javier's not there, it's a totally different team. We saw that with the Open Cup game. We saw that with Columbus.
Though, to be fair, I thought Columbus was one of our best games this season.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, we played outstanding, but if we would have had Javier in there, how would have it been different?
Yeah, it was interesting. Like, we played awesome, but hardly any of it was coming from that spot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Gil didn't provide hardly any attacking push.
Yeah, I mean, and it's tough to answer a question like that because it's like, all right, you'd like to go out and get a new center back to be that, to be behind Olave because Olave's getting older, but you also know they got 18-year-old Justin Glad sitting there who can play it.
And Kavita, who seems to be pretty good.
Yeah, or if you're like, well, let's go get another forward because Sabo's getting older. Well, Sandoval's showing that he can play first team minutes. Jaime's finally coming around. And on top of it, you also have Plata and Garcia. I mean, let's go get a goalie.
No, I mean, we have those too.
And we got Lalo.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. You know, we have all this quote unquote depth or, you know, the young guys that are coming up. But the Monarchs, man, they are having such a rough go of it. I mean, it was like our reserve team every year. We were quote unquote the deepest team in the league. And every year our reserve team sucked.
Well, and also to be fair, not a whole lot of guys go and play on the Monarchs.
Well, it's been less and less lately. I mean, they took Glad and Kavita and Salcedo, and, you know, they're mostly with the first team now because of our injury situation.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, if I remember right, I believe Schuler did play in this last Monarchs game.
Yeah, I think he played like 60-something minutes.
Good enough for me. We'll see him tomorrow.
They did say that it would be unlikely he would play on Wednesday against the Timbers because the game could go 120 minutes.
Yeah.
And he's not even 90 minutes fit yet. So you don't want to have to burn us up on a center back.
Yeah. I mean, and even like, as I think about it more and more, because we brought up the Monarchs, has actually got some good players down there that, you know, is MLS talent. That I wouldn't be too hurt if we just brought them up as a transfer window addition.
Yeah, you got to clear some space first.
Yeah, because, I mean, like, Lucas Baldwin's pretty good. I like him. Emery Walshman. So, we got that team that's right there. You know you need that one player to put them over, but you know if you do that, you're going to lose somebody that you really love.
Right.
So,
well, it's, I mean, a lot of it's going to have to be that way where we pretty much got all our slots filled and all of them are pretty good. It's just, you know, which of those pretty good guys are you going to get rid of to try and upgrade if you decide to? I imagine RSL will be quiet unless they take advantage of the new rule MLS is putting in place.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know if you heard, they were talking today about MLS is going to have a conference call on Wednesday with it, all the teams, talk about this new core player rule. So hopefully everybody, by the time you listen to this, there will be more details out. But essentially, sounds like it'll be a fourth designated player spot, essentially. But it sounds like it'll be more for the Beckerman, Raimondo,
MLS talent.
Well, the Giassi Zarda, or like players that are like barely DPs, you know what I mean? Yeah. And so you use those on core players, or like a Kai Kamara, one of those guys. And then you can use a DP slot for Michael Bradley or Giovanni Dos Santos or Pirlo. So, I mean, that's exciting. I'm curious to see how they make that tie into the salary cap. Because you got a fourth guy that can take up, you know, that whatever 400 and whatever thousand of your salary cap. I mean, that's going to just make everybody else on your team cheap.
Yeah. Yeah. But I don't know, man. I mean, there's really nobody. I mean, who would we use it on? Probably Yura.
Well, I mean, the rumor mill obviously would say Yura. I don't know if we would use it or not. Because, like, say, I mean, we're pretty set. I mean, if Yura wanted to come here, I wouldn't say no. I mean, I think he would be an upgrade over pretty much any of the strikers, right? If you put him in any of those slots, Yura's probably a better player.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. The only issue I have with bringing on Jura is you're going to sit a guy, and some of those guys are actually playing pretty awesome right now.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you've already got DP money towards Jaime and Plata. So, get another DP up top. Why not?
Yeah, I mean, I imagine LA will probably be the first team to take advantage of it.
Mm-hmm.
Seattle or NYCFC, I'm sure they'll take advantage of it as well.
No, knowing how this team works, though, I bet they probably use it on, like, Raimondo.
Yeah, I mean, that could be the other thing is we don't add anybody. We just take and give one of our current guys a little bit more money.
Yeah.
To essentially have a fourth DP, even though, you know, we didn't add anyone. So that's a possibility, too.
Yeah. That's the way I would guess.
Yeah.
I mean, unless we want to go get, like, a Juan Pablo Janiel.
Well, I mean, he's like...
I mean, he's probably... I don't think he's doing anything right now.
He's like 40-something.
Who cares? But yeah, that would be my guess is they use it on like Raimondo. Maybe even use it on some, on the guy that's coming up towards the end of his contract. I don't know who's there. The team's kind of hush-hush on who's where on their contracts, but...
It'll be good to see what comes out of the conference call Wednesday, what, you know, all the stipulations are. I'm sure they'll still kind of keep it a little vague so they can kind of tweak it as teams start to use it. That's kind of MLS's MO is the rules are set in stone until it doesn't work for a situation, and then they just modify it.
Yeah.
So we'll see how that works, but, you know, it's a step in the right direction. It would be all nice if they bumped up the salary cap to go along with it, but I doubt they will.
Yeah.
So the other game this week is Orlando City. It's the one time we get to play them this year. It's a 4th of July celebration. And so for the 4th of July, they decided we should play Erling Collins' team to make sure there's fireworks.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a little bit sad we're not playing the Revolution, but I guess it was our turn to play in New England this year, so I'll play someone else.
They're a team that's kind of on a roller coaster ride, I guess you can say. I mean, they're doing well lately. I mean, they actually their last loss was 10 days ago. On the 20th against Montreal, but before that, they haven't lost since early May. It's a team that kind of knows what they're doing.
Well, yeah, I guess. It's funny, I was trying to think, and there are a lot of players on their roster that I don't have any idea who they are.
I know one.
They have some that are well known. I mean, Kaká, obviously, the international superstar, ex player of the year, Ballon d'Or winner. They have their goalie is Tally Hall, who played for Houston. They have Breck Shea, Erling Collin, like you said.
My homie.
I think those are the only players I can come up with.
Let me look at their roster real quick.
That's not to say that, you know, they're not good. It's just not people that we're familiar with.
Yeah, there's not a whole. Harrison Heath.
I don't know who that is.
Klein Larson. He's pretty cool. He's a good guy to watch play.
They have Danny Muwanga. They have Lewis Neal. He's the guy who played for DC United that scored the goal in our Open Cup game.
Mm-hmm. That Klein Lauren, he's actually the first overall pick, and he's actually performed pretty well for this team.
Yeah.
I mean, he has 6 goals in 13 games.
That's cool.
That's a trade for him.
Yeah. If I remember right, he was a homegrown player for somebody, and they didn't want to sign him. Or was it that? No. Maybe he was the one that Orlando City was trying to trade the pick or something like that. Anyway, so other people get ahead of him, and everyone was like, we're good.
Yeah.
But yeah, you look up and down their roster, and there's not a lot of names that either recognizable or people that, you know, strike fear into you, but they seem to be playing pretty well as a team. We'll have to see what happens when Lions meet Lions.
Our Lion reigns supreme.
That's right. They had a good interview with Tally Hall on Frame this week.
Mm-hmm.
Just talking about, you know, their team and, you know, how it's been interesting kind of starting, even though they were a USL team side before, you know, just they're new to MLS and you're kind of trying to create that locker room culture, and, you know, there's a lot of foreigners and, you know, maybe people that aren't used to all the travel or different things. And so he's just kind of talking about just being an expansion side, and he was in Houston for so long. This was his kind of first experience with that.
Yeah, I mean, and they're also coached by a very smart coach in Adrian Heath, so.
Yeah.
A lot of faith in this team.
Yeah, he's a ex-Premier League coach.
Mm-hmm. They also have Ian Fuller as an assistant.
Who's that?
He's a player. No, he played for New England in the early stages of the MLS, and he kind of found he's been jumping around USL teams for a long time, and then retired with Orlando City and became an assistant coach for him.
Hmm. Yeah, I didn't recognize that name. I don't know.
It stood out to me.
Interesting.
And I also believe somewhere along the line they have a former RSL player as either a coach or something like that. The one that we had from Cuba.
Oh, Yordani Alvarez?
Yes.
He is not on their main coaching staff, but I think you're right that he has some sort of position there. He had to retire because of concussions.
Yeah.
So that was too bad.
Yeah, but I know he's involved with that team somehow.
Yes. I was trying to find it on their website, and I can't.
Yeah, I ain't finding him anywhere. I know he was the second player ever signed by Orlando, but then had to retire.
Yeah.
So he's got that honor.
Well, after we play Orlando on Saturday, we get quote-unquote a break, hopefully, which just means we don't have a midweek game. We just have a break until the following weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And
like a very long time for us anymore.
Right. I don't know what we're going to do with ourselves. We get to go to Colorado. It's another Sunday game, I think. No? Saturday game? It's the 11th.
What day Saturday.
Is it Saturday?
Yep.
Yeah, Saturday. So we get to travel to Colorado and do the next Rocky Mountain Cup leg.
Gotta go get our trophy back.
Oh, yeah. Quick shout out to the women's national team who threw it down on Germany like it was a world war.
We're still back-to-back world war champions.
That's right. And I think I saw that we haven't lost to Germany since like 2003 or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
The women's team. So, Pwnage. We were fairly lucky. Julie Johnson didn't get a red card, and then our penalty was technically outside the box, kind of.
Yeah.
So we were fortunate on those two decisions, but overall we lost the game, so I thought we deserved to win. Not that that means anything in soccer, as we saw with the Columbus game that RSL played.
Yeah, but yeah, I don't know. At least we're playing for titles.
That's right. Trophies, not friendlies. We'll find out Wednesday, that's tomorrow for us, if we play Japan or England. I would guess Japan. It'd be too weird if England made a final of any kind.
Yeah, I mean, the part of me wants England only because of how hyped up we got over when we got them in the World Cup draw. But Japan gives you that chance of revenge from last time.
Yeah, be good payback.
Yeah.
And I think it was nice to see the U.S. women play really well against Germany.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, all the games kind of leading up, they've been a little bit sketchy. They played well against China and then even better, I think, against Germany. So hopefully they can continue that momentum. It's been interesting to hear about how England really doesn't care, like, at all about the Women's World Cup. So, I mean, if it would help it grow it over there, then that'd be cool if they made the final. But, I mean, if they don't care, then I'd rather have them not be in the final.
Yeah.
So, those are my feelings. We'll see. We'll play on Sunday for the final. So by the time we record another podcast, we will be world champions.
Go put money on it in Vegas.
Let's do it. Drive out to Wendover.
And if you win, you owe us some money.
Yep. All right. What else you got?
I think I'm good. I think that's everything.
Go fight win?
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Well.
Team is the star.
Team is the star. The coin is the star.
Yes.
In the Open Cup.
Yes.
So with that, I guess we'll sign off. Appreciate you guys joining us for Touchline Podcast, presented by Torn by Sports website.
Mm-hmm.
I'm Rich. You can get at me on Twitter at @Frisbee_Rich. Check out some of Brody Smith's cool Trick Frisbee videos that I retweet. They're awesome.
They are pretty cool. I'm not going to lie. I watch them.
Brody Smith is amazing.
Yep. And then I'm Brett. You can get me at @A24Brett or at @Touchline_TBS.
Yeah. Hope you guys enjoyed the pod and send us any questions, comments you might have. Check out the website.
Send us money.
Yes. Send us money or
we're not greedy.
Collectibles, things that people want to collect. Yeah, you know, no big deal. Anyway, peace out, yo. Have a good one.
Later.